Happy New Year, and welcome to 2012. Well, over the recent holidays, you might have seen some yard decorations that were a bit over the top, like this one from the TV show Roseanne.
This holiday season, we're asking everyone to restrict their decorations to simple white lights in order to avoid eyesores such as last year's faded plastic Santas and three-legged reindeer.
Well, what are we supposed to do with them? Shoot them?
They've singled us out, honey. We're the tackiest house in the whole neighborhood.
Well, this year I say we go for the national title.
Like Roseanne's Neighborhood Association, cities set standards for what our homes and yards can look like. Some of the rules are based on health and safety. So if your building's falling over, you're supposed to repair it. Other rules are there to protect property values. For example, you aren't allowed to let garbage pile up in your yard. But in Oakland, some people think the process has broken down. The Alameda County Civil Grand Jury report released last July says the building inspectors are purposefully making it difficult for property owners to get up to code. City staff admit they've got problems, but they say it's a bit more complicated than the grand jury report would have you believe. KLW's Callie Schanefeld looked into the story.
One day last September, 42-year-old Omar El-Baroudi appeared on the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle. In the photo, he's standing at the back of his West Oakland home. At the time the photo was taken, the house had been boarded up for more than 2 years. An Oakland building inspector had said his home was blighted. El-Baroudi disagreed. He said he'd been trying to improve things.
I bought it for $185,000. There was definitely, it was part of the neighborhood, there were squatters.
By the time he made the headlines, El-Baroudi's home had been caught in Oakland city bureaucracy for more than 3 years. Dozens of other Oakland homeowners had had a similar experience, and they all said the same thing, that the city was making it impossible for them to fix up their homes. An Alameda County grand jury agreed. To understand what happened, we need to go back a few years to when El-Baroudi first bought his house, a small two-bedroom on Magnolia Street.
I got in April of 2008, pretty much April Fool's Day.
It was his first time owning a home, and he had big plans.
I mean, I was going to have an ice machine and a washer-dryer. It was going to be a lot different.
A lot different, that is, than what the house looks like now. The basement and back windows are boarded up, the yard is overgrown, and the inside is completely gutted. But the neighborhood's not all bad. One side of Magnolia Street is full of old original houses, like El-Baroudi's. Across the street are brand new $500,000 lofts. And down the block are warehouses from Oakland's industrial past.
Now it's really kind of up and coming, and there's a lot of artists and a lot of young people coming here. And there's just a complete mix of neighbors, from people who drive into the city and go to their financial job every day to people who have a part-time job weeding for the city of Oakland out on medians, living over here. And it's a lower-class neighborhood with, like a upper-class jacket on.
When he first saw it, El-Baroudi's home was one of three vacant buildings, all in a row on the block. He says the windows would glow at night from the fires squatters were burning inside.
And it was just some of those shopping cart people. And so they'd be stripping wires here, bringing their recycling here.
After buying the property, El-Baroudi got the squatters to leave, moved in, and started cleaning up. Not just his house, but the others around him. He used to remodel houses himself, so he knew what he was doing. And he says his neighbors were glad to see the improvements.
These were all empty, and I cleaned all the fronts of all of them. And I met everybody, and they're like, this is so great.
Still, 3 months after moving in, he got a notice from a City of Oakland inspector.
Then the odyssey began with its one lien after another and one threat after another. And either, you know, it's really easy. It's just like one stroke of my pen and they tear your house down and you'll pay for that.
A lien is basically something the city files against a property that says the owner owes them money. And if the building is sold, the city gets its money first. With each lien comes a nearly $1,000 fine. And it makes it difficult to get loans on the property. Here's how a lien happens. Someone calls Oakland's Community and Economic Development Agency, or CEDA, and complains. They send out an inspector, who usually finds something that doesn't meet city code, and then they find the owner.
Blight is unquestionably a huge problem down here, but like they pushed the landlord out before me. They created this blight.
We are in Audit Oakland CEDA's Operations Central.
Michelle Cassens is the founder of Audit Oakland CETA, an advocacy group that monitors the city's blight control efforts. She says she realized liens were a problem for a lot of Oakland residents back in August of 2009. She takes me through her office to show me what she found.
Everything you see around you, all of these papers, are public records that I spent the last 2 years requesting and receiving, or more likely, going and getting myself and printing out.
She says she hit the public records jackpot when she realized Oakland was issuing hundreds of liens. Many of them were equivalent to the value of the homes.
I noticed that for Oakland, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these filed, but for every other city in Alameda County, there were none.
And Oakland's policy has driven many homeowners back to renting.
And now I'm renting a house down the street, everything else is fixed, and this one looks exactly the same, and quite frankly, I don't pick up garbage in this town anymore.
For Omar El-Baroudi, the fines piled up quickly. His building inspector claimed his windows were the wrong size and that his railing and vinyl siding weren't permitted. El-Baroudi says none of these complaints had merit, but his inspector insisted he come in to file a 6-month compliance plan to fix the problems. That cost him hundreds of dollars. Then he applied for building permits, but it took 6 months for them to come through, and by then his compliance plan had expired.
And my inspector absolutely had no empathy at all. I mean, she would be writing these crazy fines on me, threatening to tear down my house. And when I told her that I was going bankrupt, which was a distinct possibility and still is, she just was like, oh, good. Well, when you leave the house, be sure to call me and tell me, because that'll be different paperwork for me.
Last summer, an Alameda County grand jury report supported the concerns of El-Baroudi and others. More than 20 people showed up to testify at the first city council hearing on the issue. Councilwoman Jane Bruner made a motion to solve some of the problems outlined in the report. One was to stop using liens until a new policy could be created.
We do still need liens. If you don't have liens, you have no hammer. But you really want to make sure that they've been noticed, they have a time to object, there's been an appeal, and then you do the lien, that you don't do it right away.
CETA's Margareta Lynn says in the future they'll file a lot fewer liens, and they won't file them against low-income residential homeowners like El-Baroudi.
We do need, however, to find ways to provide constructive notice to interested parties that that property may have some issues with it. And that's our legal duty or moral duty to the community at large.
They also have a duty to respond to the more than 8,000 complaints every year. Part of the problem in the past was that an inspector was sent to every home in question, which usually resulted in some kind of fee to the homeowner. Lynn says they're trying to change that.
We're trying to avoid having any interactions with you, period, because the city is costly.
Now the city sends courtesy notices instead of inspectors to a home with a complaint against it. If the owner solves the problem and sends proof to the city, no fines or inspectors will ever be involved.
An important starting place is changing the culture of the organization.
Also, Lynn says they're creating a way to appeal so accused homeowners can take their case to a neutral party.
I think a lot of good faith efforts are occurring by the city and by building services staff to address the issues that were raised by the grand jury report and issues that the city was aware of prior to the release of the report itself.
This is the second time in a decade that a grand jury has found the same problems with how CETA operates. Omar El-Baroudi, for one, has little faith that things can change.
To be honest, I'm just freaking tired right now. You know, it's been a long 3 years, and it's kind of been hard on everybody, particularly hard on building, and this was rough. I mean, I got the loan. They said I can get my old permits back because they had expired also. So, you know, on the one hand, it should be, like, really exciting, but for whatever reason, I'm just really tired right now. But I'm going to get excited, you know, because, I mean, I do want to live here. I mean, it's, you know, I put these roses in 3 years ago. They miss me.
In Oakland, I'm Callie Schanefelt for Cross Currents.